Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Welcome to Football Full Circle, live right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens, alongside the mastermind of the pigskin, he is Joe Lisi. We are locked and loaded on this FFC, looking at the weekend to come in the world of football. Joe, college football, the NFL, this is your home for it on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Lisi, week four of the college football campaign. Might be the most excited I've been for a week since that full Saturday slate to truly kick off the season, week number one, because the games we have across the country this week, conference action, undefeated teams versus undefeated teams, ranked versus ranked, it might be the best slate we've had so far.
Absolutely, and from the gambling aspect as well, teams that we think potentially could challenge for a division and conference championship have an opportunity to step up. Some teams like Minnesota, right? Wake Forest, are they for real or are they just pretenders right now entering week number four? We'll see at the end of the day, and this is what it's all about. I mean, the kickoffs from start to finish, Ben, I mean, it's just must-watch television in terms of top 25 action and conference games from top to bottom.
And that will be the case of what we see on Saturday. So, Lisi, we'll run through the slate here, really, for all of Saturday over the course of this football full circle. There's a couple of games this week that truly intrigue the eye. And let's focus on a few of the breakdowns that we have. There are four games this week that pit an unbeaten team against an unbeaten team. Lisi, only 33 teams remain undefeated after 3 weeks of college football action of the 131 at the FBS level. So there's four that feature an unbeaten versus unbeaten. There are three top 25 ranked versus ranked opponent matchups. There is only one game, Joe, that hits both of those considerations. It is number 5 Clemson on the road against number 21 Wake Forest. 7.5 points, Joe. That is the spread in favor of the Clemson Tigers, who have won 13 straight games against Wake Forest. Will it be 14 straight, Joe? And if it is it a cover of that 7.5 point spread?
I think it is. And the way they ran on the front seven last year, 333 total yards. They were able to wear them down, sustain drives, and Wake Forest never had an opportunity to really get into that ballgame in Death Valley. Same thing last week with Liberty, right? They jumped out to a huge first half lead against the Flames and had to hang on for a 2-point conversion attempt to solidify that victory 37-36. Wake Forest allowed 175 yards on the ground to Liberty and Caden Salter. I don't think it stops with Clemson. Clemson is averaging a 183 with Will Shipley. I think the physicality of the offensive line is way too much. And if we're talking defenses, I'm buying into more of Clemson's front seven right now than I would Wake Forest playing at home.
Yeah, I would agree with that statement. I think the defensive advantage, of course, is for Clemson. It might be the case for every ACC game Clemson plays this season. That is the strength of Dabo Swinney's club this year. But the question, Lisi, as we well know, is what are they going to do offensively? I can't wait to see what the passing yards props are for that game when they become available between Sam Hartman on one side for the Demon Deacons, one of the most successful quarterbacks in the country last year, combining for 50 total touchdowns. Great in his return from that non-football related medical condition, Joe, in that opening game against Vandy, but did struggle slightly last week in that game against Liberty. 17.5 point favorites, just winning outright by 1 point. And of course, the questions remain for DJ Uiagalelei, Joe, and what the Clemson offense has the rest of this way. The ground attack with Will Shipley, I think, will be a focus for Dabo Swinney and that team to start to make their moves offensively with Brandon Streeter at the helm of that offense, calling the plays as the OC as well. And Joe, I give the advantage to Clemson in that area, also knowing the series history here, 13 straight wins. I look at the side of Clemson. My question is, though, how many points is Wake Forest able to put up against that Clemson defense to maybe keep this game within margin?
Well, they put up 27 last year, right? And the defense wasn't as good at the end of the year, meaning they were good, but they weren't anywhere near where they are right now, right? Giving up only about 70 rushing yards per game, solid third down defense. I have to think that unless Wake scores early and often, meaning in the first or second quarter, I don't know if they get over 17 in this ballgame. And I really mean that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think 17 really is the height of it. And that might seem like, oh, it's Sam Hartman, it's Wake Forest. How could you say that? Because they just have an opportunity to choke you out and really force long third downs. And unless they convert and sustain drives consistently and run the football, and I'm talking about Wake, I don't think they're going to be in this ballgame.
Yeah, and that will be what I think is going to happen slightly. I'm interested to see, Joe, and I don't know if the line is available yet. The total for the game is 55.5. I think the team totals are now up. The home team total, which of course is the Demon Deacons, 23.5, Lisey. That feels like a big number. I understand it's Wake Forest. I understand it's Sam Hartman and all the things they can do offensively. Last year, a top 10 scoring unit in all of the country on the offensive side of the football. But, Lizzy, that's a tall task to break three touchdowns against the Clemson Tigers. But I think it's the only way, really, as you look at it, for Clemson to struggle against Wake Forest. If Wake Forest can put up 24 points, Clemson's offense has that capability just because of the talent, but that could be a way for the Demon Deacs, Joe, if they can go over 23.5 to keep within margin, to keep this game competitive, and that is their opportunity. It's similar to what we discussed yesterday with Florida and Tennessee, a game we'll get into later in the show, because often when you look at an underdog who's getting more than a touchdown, their way to a victory, their way to a cover, ugly, gritty, grinded out game, keeping us under a total. I think for both Florida and Wake Forest, it's the offense that needs to win the day against, well, Tennessee's not a great defense, but Clemson certainly is. We continue to go all around the football landscape. Up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Back on Football Full Circle, week number 3 of the NFL season starts on a Thursday night, as it often does throughout this regular campaign. But on a Thursday, Joe, it's in Cleveland, Ohio, an AFC North rivalry between two bitter foes. Throw out the record books, Joe, when these two franchises face off. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. The line working in favor of the Steelers, Joe, heading up until kick in Cleveland on a Thursday. However, the Browns still the favored side. They are laying 3.5, but Joe, earlier this week, it was Cleveland laying 5 in a hook. Do you agree with the line movement in this AFC North divisional matchup?
I do, because Cleveland's playing at home and they have the better running game right now. And if we're talking defenses, I still buy into the Cleveland front seven a little bit more than what I do with Pittsburgh right now. And that's not to take away from the Steelers 1-1, great effort week one against Joe Burrow. But the way New England was able to wear them down in the second half, so Ramondre Stevenson, you know, moved the chains, Damian Harris over 70 yards on the ground. That's going to be, I think, the recipe tonight with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And I would lay it right now. I know it seems like it's over that key number, but playing at home, I still think Cleveland is the side. Not buying into Pittsburgh as a whole offensively yet, still think they're finding their way.
I think the name of the game here, Joe, is that ground attack, really, for both sides. Najee Harris for Pittsburgh, but really the two-headed backfield for the Cleveland Browns in terms of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And the reason I say that, Joe, is not just based on what we've seen out of these two offenses through the first 2 weeks. The Cleveland Browns averaging 38 rush attempts per game, second most in the NFL, only behind the San Francisco 49ers, but also because of what the weather looks like on this short week. On a Thursday night, a banged-up defensive front potentially for the Cleveland Browns, some issues for the Steelers on that offensive line. Yes, all that goes into it, but I still think that ground game, Joe, establishing the run, the Big Ten credo, my personal life motto, is the way this game plays out tonight. The weather is going to be interesting. It's supposed to be very windy. Gusts around 25, 30 miles per hour, and a pretty sustained wind north of 15 miles per hour. And, Joe, we're seeing all of the factors I just mentioned come to a head in the over-under for tonight. The total is 38.5. It is the lowest we have seen so far here in this National Football League regular season in 2022. Joe, it's one of the lowest totals we have seen in the NFL in the past 5 seasons. That would say to me we are getting a nitty-gritty, grinded-out football game in Cleveland.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that would be the recipe for both teams to obviously win this ball game. I think we can get over the 38.5, though. I think we'll see some play action passing in terms of big plays and chunk plays, as long as both teams could at least run the football to somewhat of a success in the first half. We'll see how it plays out. I like Cleveland. I like Brissett. I like Cooper. I like some of the things that they did last week. Even though they lost to the Jets, they moved the football fairly consistently. When you look at Mitch Trubisky right now, they're going to have to get some of those playmakers involved. Deontay Johnson, you need, obviously, Claypool, Freiermuth, the tight end. We'll see how it plays out, because if they're in long third down situations, that's going to be a benefit to the Cleveland secondary in this matchup.
Joe, the Browns team total tonight is 21.5. Although we mentioned offense is slightly struggling, the Browns really haven't. They've just been focusing on the ground. They scored 30 last week against the Jets. They scored 26 week number one in the Baker Bowl against the Carolina Panthers. They have scored the football, led by their two running backs, Kareem Hunt, two total touchdowns week number one. Nick Chubb added 141 yards on the ground. In week number two, it was Nick Chubb scoring three times with 87 yards, although he admitted maybe that last touchdown ended up being the damning seal to allow the Jets to have that comeback. I'm not so sure. I think it's more Joe Flacco dicing up your secondary for two touchdowns in less than 2 minutes of real time action. However, I think, Joe, as we look at the ground game tonight, again, that is the focus for Cleveland. 52.5 is the rushing yards prop for Najee Harris. Nick Chubb, though, his rushing yards number up to 84.5. It's a number he's gone over in each of the first two games this year, Joe. 87 last week, a buck 41 week number one. And then Kareem Hunt for me, Joe, is the area I look tonight. I love the number on Hunt. It's 42.5 for his rushing yards prop. He has run the football double-digit times both games this season, including last week against those New York Jets, 13 carries, 58 yards. So two overs so far for Kareem Hunt. But Joe, I go back to 2021, because you might question, hey, a split backfield, I don't know who's going to get what carry, where that is on the field, yada, yada, yada. What I'm saying, though, is the volume is certainly there for Kareem Hunt. 2021 was an injury-riddled season for Kareem Hunt. He missed 9 games. But in the first 6 games, Joe, when he was fully healthy for the Browns, he ran the football double-digit times in 5 of those first 6 games. And in all 5 of those games, Joe, he went over this number of 42.5. In fact, in those 5 overs, he averaged nearly 66 yards per game on the ground. So it's pretty simple. He gets 10 or more carries. He is more than likely to go over 42.5. And I think given the game script tonight, Joe, both he and Nick Chubb will have double-digit carries against that Steelers defense.
Yeah, and they might get some receiving yards out of the backfield, right? Kareem Hunt has a low total tonight. I think it's 15.5. Keep in mind, if you have an overactive defensive front, not just in the run game, right, you neutralize them with the screen game, the short to intermediate passes out in the flat to get that defense running sideline to sideline. And both players, Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, might get yards on the ground, but they also might catch the football out of the backfield to give Jacoby Brissett manageable third downs against the defense. We'll see how it plays out. But I agree with you. I think both running backs need to have a big night in order for Cleveland to pull this win out.
And when you look at the passing yards props, Joe, it's more of an indication we're not expecting a ton out of the air game. Mitchell Trubisky, his is 191.5. It's the higher of the two quarterbacks, but down by 9 total yards from where it opened at 20.5. Every quarterback, Joe, in the National Football League will tell you it's not so much rain. It's not even snow in the bitter cold. It's the wind that affects the passing attack of your offense more than any other weather condition. So that's part of the reason Mitchell Trubisky has come back down to 191 and a hook for his passing yards prop. But Joe, he hasn't gotten over 200 so far this year. Jacoby Brissett's box score, Joe, against those Jets last week, if you just looked at it on paper, not the costly interception that he threw when the Browns had an opportunity to maybe drive in a field goal position and get that game-winning kick against the Browns, wasn't all that bad. 22 of 27, an 81.5% completion percentage for 229, a touchdown in that costly interception. But his passing yards prop, Joe, is 181.5. Do you think either of those two QBs have the potential of going over their numbers tonight?
You know, I think if it's one, I think it is Trubisky, because right now the running game with Najee Harris, he's a little bit banged up. They have some playmakers that they have to get the football to, George Pickens, Claypool. So I would say Trubisky. I like Trubisky's rushing total tonight too. 12.5, I think, is a little bit light up until this point. His high is 9 yards, but being that it's in prime time, I think he takes on a little added responsibility, tries to do a little bit more with his legs in tonight's ballgame.
It is a way that Mitchell Trubisky has had some success in the past. I think it's interesting, Joe, knowing how low the passing yards props are, knowing that points are at a premium tonight, to look then at the receivers for this evening. Deontay Johnson has the highest receiving yards prop. It's 56.5. Amari Cooper, the largest number on the other side for the Browns, at 49 and a hook. It's not an area I'm going to look, Joe. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, the receivers don't really stand out to me tonight. I mean, the only one that really stands out on both sides is Freiermuth in terms of a 3-1 shot, in terms of a touchdown score, and George Pickens tonight. Low number, 29.5. We took it on an alt line, 25, because Trubisky said he wants to get the youngster involved in the offense. So to me, that's one big play over the top. He's a big body as well in terms of red zone opportunities.
It's a good area to look. George Pickens was the betting favorite entering this season to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. It hasn't been the greatest start. Now it's another wide receiver, one that plays for the Atlanta Falcons, and Drake London, who is the favorite right now. That's how things set up for Thursday Night Football to start off week number 3 of this NFL regular season. An AFC North rivalry between the Steelers and the Browns. Under Mike Tomlin, by the way, 15 plus years, the Steelers have a .695 win percentage in the AFC North. Dominance in that division. We are back on Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back on Football Full Circle, live right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. A huge week number 4 of the college football season, Lisi. As we shared, four unbeaten versus unbeaten matchups on this Saturday slate. 3 ranked versus ranked. A ton of conference games all around the country. Joe, let's focus on the SEC first, because 2 of the 3 ranked versus ranked top 25 tilts feature teams from the Southeastern Conference. We begin in Dallas on Saturday night at the Star, A&M and Arkansas. Right now, Joe, the Aggies, 1.5 favorite, but the money line working slightly in Arkansas's way. It is now +106. Yesterday, Joe, at this time, it was +115. So incremental sense of movement, but still some movement in this number. In fact, Joe, as I'm saying that, the line works back up now to 2.5 in favor of Texas A&M. Interesting movement on this week, Joe, heading into this game between Arkansas and A&M. All right, let's break it down. 2.5 points in favor of Texas A&M, Joe. Where do you think the advantage is in this game?
We talked about it this morning on TMA. I think the better defense is Texas A&M. They're better in terms of the secondary, only giving up around 168 passing yards to opposing offenses. I still like Max Johnson going up against the Arkansas secondary. That really is the worst in college football. 352 yards allowed entering this ballgame. Even though K.J. Jefferson and that rushing attack of Arkansas is athletic and physical, they're averaging way over 235 rushing yards per game. The way A&M shut down Miami in the second half, I have to roll with that. A lot of pressure on Jimbo, but the more experienced quarterback, in my opinion, is Max Johnson. I'm going to lay the short number on a neutral field with Texas A&M. They've won 9 of the last 10.
Listen, the advantage is there. It is right for the taking for Texas A&M, Joe, because Arkansas, as you mentioned, is the worst pass defense in all of college football, giving up more than 352 yards per game. But we haven't seen offense yet out of Jimbo Fisher and A&M. We thought Max Johnson would provide more of that spark, Joe, week number 3 of the college football season for Texas A&M against Miami. They got the win against the Hurricanes, but Joe, it wasn't necessarily an offensive affair. 17-9 the final. A&M's defense again looked very, very good, but when you look at Max Johnson's stat line, 10 of 20, 140 yards in a touchdown. Devin Achane continues to do what he does as their leader in the backfield, but I don't know, Joe. There's nothing in that stat line that proves to me that A&M is going to be able to take advantage of this porous Hogs pass defense. And on the other side, I'm more trusting in the unit of that physical rushing attack of both K.J. Jefferson and Rocket Sanders, Raheem Sanders, the running back for the Arkansas Razorbacks, fourth in all of college football in terms of rushing yards this season. So I look at Arkansas as maybe being the better side and having the stronger matchup advantages in this game against A&M. I'll still take the Hogs on the money line, Joe, although the spread works away from me.
Yeah, I mean, they won this matchup last year as a 4.5-point dog against Calzada and the crew. They won that matchup 20-10, right? Jumped out to a big first-half lead and held on in terms of the second-half matchup against the Texas A&M offense. They couldn't move it basically past midfield in the second half of that ballgame. So we'll see. I will say this about Arkansas. They get through this game and then play very well against Alabama. Let me tell you, they're going to be a contender. I mean, they can potentially challenge Bama next week. I want to see how they play this coming Saturday. I want to see if they're able to man up with A&M in the trenches. If they are, and K.J. Jefferson breaks out with a dynamic performance, you got to talk about him for the Heisman. And next week, I don't know if that line's still going to be 17.5 in Fayetteville with Bryce Young coming to the road in terms of the Razorbacks, the way they played the last time in Austin. That might be a sneaky game because they covered last year as a 20.5-point road dog, Arkansas did.
Yeah, they did. And it was a big, big win that looked like it was going to be there late for Alabama. But one of those final three games for the Tide, Joe, where they were nearly a 3-score favorite in all of them and only won by single digits in all three of those games. A huge couple of weeks in conference action. And that's what we love about where we are in the college football schedule this time of year. It's not just Arkansas and A&M. This week in a top 25 tilt. If the Razorbacks prevail, there will be tons of hype next week, Joe, for that game against Alabama. It will be a top 10 matchup, and it will be, if not the, one of the premier matchups on the week 5 slate. A great one in the Star in Jerry's world coming up here in just a couple of days. So, Joe, as we continue going around the SEC, a top 20 tilt on Rocky Top between Tennessee and Florida. We discussed this line earlier, 10.5 in favor of the Volunteers. Joe, how does Tennessee cover that number, or how does Florida keep this game competitive?
Well, I think for Florida, obviously, they're going to have to jump up early. I think that's the biggest thing. Utilize Richardson's athleticism. Put the pressure on Hendon Hooker and the Tennessee team that have lost 16 of the last 17 and 5 straight to the Florida Gators by 19.8 points per game. On the flip side, if you're Hendon Hooker and you're that offense, I mean, he's playing lights out. No interceptions on the year, completing 65% of his passes, well over 300 passing yards per game. If they could jump up, let's say 10-0, 13-0, 13-3. It could be lights out for Anthony Richardson. We talk about his weakness right now as a quarterback. It's staying in the pocket and going through his reads and progressions. That's where he struggles. He's lethal when he breaks contain with his legs and keeps his eyes down the field. So we'll see how this game plays out. The fact that Florida has just owned Tennessee, they won this matchup 38-14 last year. They're pounding the rock for over 200. I still like Richardson on the road. And as we discussed this morning, Napier is an underdog from his days in UL Lafayette, 9-4 against the number. I'll roll the dice with the Gators on the road.
It's a good look. 10.5, given the series history, makes it very intriguing, Joe, to see this line that substantially in favor of the Volunteers right now. I think it will be a big game for Anthony Richardson, Joe. We discussed this with Clemson and Wake Forest. If Sam Hartman has a big day and the Demon Deacons can get near their team total of 23.5, that's their way of winning a football game, in my opinion. That's their way of covering a greater than touchdown number. However, this is greater than double digits now at 10.5. I think Anthony Richardson needs to be a lot better. Joe, you mentioned the passing touchdowns yet this season. Through the first three games, he's thrown two picks in each of the last two games, and he's rushed for less than 25 yards in each of the last two as well. That's what makes Anthony Richardson so dynamic. We'll see if that comes back for AR and that Florida Gators offense this upcoming weekend in Tennessee against the Volunteers. Joe, you're sharing with me a little bit of news here as we get ready for week number four of this college football season. Steve Sarkisian, the head coach, of course, for Texas, saying Quinn Ewers will make the trip to Lubbock, but that's not any indication on whether he will play or not. Of course, Quinn Ewers injuring that AC joint against the Alabama Crimson Tide, knocking him out of that game. Joe, at the time, it was estimated 4 to 6 weeks. It's only been just a little bit more than 2 weeks. Is there any chance in your mind that Quinn Ewers can play against the Red Raiders on Saturday?
I don't think he can, but, you know, never know. I mean, the line has inched up to a full touchdown now in favor of the Longhorns. And I have to say, Texas Tech is one of my favorite bets all weekend. You know, Texas has won four straight in the series by 18.9 points per game. Picked up this victory last year, 70-35 in Austin. But the last three games, Ben, in Lubbock have only been decided by 7.3 points per game. I like the way this Texas Tech defense is playing. They're only giving up 83 rushing yards per game on the ground to opposing offenses. Secondaries holding opposing quarterbacks 52% in terms of completion percentage and have only given up three touchdowns through the air. You know what? I'll take my chances. That place is going to be absolutely bonkers for Joey McGuire. I think they're able to break out. You want to give me a full touchdown now? I'll take it with the Red Raiders. Don't be shocked if they strike the upset Saturday.
Plus 245 on that money line. A couple of other Big 12 games, Joe, as we stick in that conference for some conference action. We talked about this one as well. Oklahoma at home, Norman at night against Kansas State. Right now, the Sooners, a 12.5-point favorite against the Kansas State Wildcats. Joe, K-State was a team some people had their eye on, maybe a trendy kind of underdog to keep that look at for this Big 12 season. Well, K-State got off to a roaring start, and that came back to a roaring halt last week against Tulane as the Wildcats lost as a 13.5-point favorite. Now they're a 12.5-point underdog in Norman. The total, Joe, for this game is where I look because I think we're going to see a defensive battle, as the odds would indicate. It's only 53.5 between the Sooners and the Cats.
Yeah, can you? What is the scoring total for Kansas State in this game? They're averaging 115 yards through the air with Adrian Martinez. I mean, Adrian Martinez has only completed about 57% of his passes. I mean, they couldn't move the football against Tulane's defense. And I love Tulane, but this is nowhere near where Brett Venables has the Oklahoma Sooners defense. They are flying to the ball, holding opposing offenses to 35% on third down conversions. If Casey Thompson couldn't take advantage of that secondary to any capacity, do we feel that Adrian Martinez is going to be able to do it through the air? I can't back K-State in any capacity in this matchup.
For the last 5 years, Kansas State has kept this game very competitive against Oklahoma, including two wins in that five-year span. The last time they played in Norman, it was Kansas State on top in 2020 at the end of September, 38-35. Even last year in the Little Apple, 37-31, the final in favor of Oklahoma, but K-State covering that number. Four of the last five would have been within this margin of 12.5 points. Much more to come from the college football slate up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Joe, an update for you about Quinn Ewers. As you shared with me that he would be making the trip to Lubbock, he will also dress on Saturday for Texas Tech, a Texas two-step in Lubbock, where right now the Red Raiders, a 7-point home underdog. Joe's more concerned about the quarterback for the other side. Donovan Smith looking to bounce back after a lackluster week for the Red Raiders just 1 week ago. All right, Lisi, let's continue setting the stage for the Saturday slate. Week number four of this college football season. Four matchups between an undefeated team and an undefeated team. One of them is a non-conference game, and it's where we must go right now, featuring a Big 12 team at home in Big 12 country, Lawrence, Kansas. Yes, you heard that correctly. The Kansas Jayhawks are the home of a 3-0 football team, Joe, hosting another 3-0 perfect football team. That would be the Duke Blue Devils. This is not a non-conference college basketball game in early November. This is a college football game in late September featuring two undefeated teams. Duke and Kansas show. Right now, the Jayhawks, a 7.5-point favorite. It is wild to think we have a battle of unbeatens here, Joe, but just from the game perspective, how do you think it plays out in Lawrence on Saturday?
Yeah, I think the more physical team in the trenches is Kansas. I like Jalen Daniels more than I like Riley Leonard in this ball game, and I believe in the defense of Kansas more than I believe in the Duke front seven. Now, you know, we talked about it again this morning that Duke has only given up 117 rushing yards to opposing offenses, but again, you know, they wear down at the point of attack against bigger physical teams, and I think Kansas has an advantage in terms of the run game in this matchup. I like Kansas, so I would lay it, but how about this total? 65.5. I know it seems high, but I think Kansas can get there. I know they played a dead under against a physical team in Houston, but I think if they get things rolling with that offense and they're averaging well over, 45, 48 points, they're in the 50s per game.
Yeah.
They're converting 68% on third down conversions. I like Kansas in the over here.
53 points per game, to be exact. Joe, the third best scoring offense in the country for the Jayhawks. I'll keep an eye on the prop market for this game as we get closer to kick on Saturday around noon Eastern time. When they give me a number on Jalen Daniels, I'll certainly take a look at it. He's a very dynamic quarterback for Lance Leipold. Over 200 yards passing the football last week against the Cougs. Over 100 on the ground as well. One of the more dynamic quarterbacks in the country, certainly within the Big 12. Also combined for 5 total touchdowns in that victory over Houston just this past week. All right, Joe, let's continue to go around the country. Let's go big to big. Big 12 to Big 10. The fourth and final unbeaten versus unbeaten matchup. Actually, the third of the fourth. We'll talk about the fourth of the fourth in just a little bit. But the third of four unbeaten versus unbeaten matchups we have on Saturday, Michigan and Maryland, the number four Wolverines hosting the Terps as a 17-point favorite, Joe, inside the Big House. You shared with us yesterday on Football Full Circle all of the average margin of victory that Michigan has over Maryland in the last six meetings or so, the better portion of the past half decade. Joe, do you think Michigan can cover 17 points once again?
Yeah, I do. They've won six straight by 33.6 points per game. I think they're going to be able to run all over the front seven of Maryland. Now, Maryland's played well statistically, giving up only about 128 rushing yards to opposing offenses, but I don't consider the teams that they played as physical as Michigan. Buffalo, right? I mean, some of the FCS opponents that they played a couple weeks ago, they're going to be challenged in the interior. It's not from an offensive perspective. We know they have playmakers on the outside to challenge Michigan over the top, but they can't man up in the trenches. We see it each and every year with the Maryland Terps. They don't step up against teams like Iowa, Michigan, Ohio State. They just don't know how to shut down those offensive lines. And until they do it, I can't buy in. I mean, it's a no bet for me because the spread to me, Ben, does look a little fishy. This line should be like 24. If you think about it, if you just think about the series perspective and think about how much, I mean, Michigan won 59-18 or 59-16 last year. They killed them in College Park.
Yeah.
I think they're going to do it again. Why isn't it over 20?
I don't know, to be frank with you, Joe, because not only this specific matchup, but Maryland and Big Ten play under Mike Locksley in three-plus seasons now. We shared this yesterday, 6-17 against the spread. And just straight up. And against the spread, Joe, they're not covering by an average margin of nearly 9 points per game, which means they might not get close to covering a 17-point spread, which means that if Michigan is up three touchdowns, that might be it. That might be the cover right there. And by the way, that 6-17 ATS record is a cover percentage, Joe, of 26%. It is the fourth worst cover percentage of any team in conference games in the last three-plus years since Mike Locksley became the full-time head coach in College Park at the start of the 2019 season. I am worried for Maryland and what they might see on the ground against this Michigan team, Joe, that if they don't have the best offensive line in all of college football, they have one of the best offensive lines in all of college football. Michigan already averaging some ridiculous numbers on the ground. Blake Corum last week, Joe, 12 carries, only 71 yards. But of those 12 carries, five of them went for a touchdown. Michigan as a team, over 231 yards on the ground. Let's quickly look at what Maryland's defense has done against the run so far, Joe, as we scroll through here and find this stat. Maryland allowing 118 yards per game, and it hasn't been the stiffest competition just yet for the Terps. I am scared for Maryland, Joe. I really am scared for them in this case, given track record and precedent within Big Ten play. It should be a number, maybe at 20.5, but it's just the idea that, hey, it's a step up in competition for both teams. It's conference action. This is not Michigan against their cupcake of a non-conference schedule that was Hawaii, UConn, and Colorado State. All right, Joe, staying in the Big Ten, another step up in competition for Ohio State. It's Wisconsin on the other side, yet the Buckeyes are actually favored by more, Joe, at home than Michigan is against Maryland. But Ohio State has also been pretty dominant in the series history against the Badgers as of late. It's 18.5, Joe, in favor of the Buckeyes. Can the Buckeyes cover that large number?
They can. But my heart is telling me Wisconsin, and I hate Paul Chryst. I do not feel he's a big game head coach. But looking at the recipe, the way Notre Dame was able to shorten the game and keep it within a four-quarter game, I think Wisconsin could do the same. Now, whether they execute that remains to be seen. But you want to give me 18.5 points in this ball game. The fact that they're going to run the football with Braylon Allen, utilize the heavy offensive line, and hopefully Graham Mertz stays within the scheme and doesn't turn the football over, they have a shot. I mean, 18.5 is a huge number when you just think about it. And Wisconsin's defense, statistically, top 20, right? They're very good against the run, very good against the pass. They need to force a couple of turnovers. I'm going to close my eyes and take Wisconsin. I don't love it, but if you're asking me to bet this game, I'm going to take the Badgers. Hopefully they do exactly what Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame did week number one.
Listen, I think Wisconsin is truly one of the best defenses in all of college football. I really do. If there is a weakness, if there is a small weakness for this Wisconsin defense, it is in that secondary, Joe, only allowing 170 yards per game. But Wisconsin was a 17.5 point favorite at home against Washington State week number two. They lost that football game 17-14. Now, as you look at the box score, Cam Ward, the very exciting quarterback for the Wazoo Cougars, who are, by the way, a perfect 3-0, only threw for 200 yards, Joe, and did throw two interceptions. But we know that's going to be an area of attack for for Ohio State in that offense. And if there is a small weakness to this Jim Leonard coordinated defense, I think it is in the secondary. And when you look at the series history here, Joe, it's even more damning than just maybe some of the issues in the back of that defense. This is the first meeting between these two teams since the Big Ten championship game at the end of the 2019 campaign. Ohio State was down by 2 touchdowns at the halftime break, stormed back, and outscored the Wisconsin Badgers 27-0 in the second half for a 34-21 win. At the time, it was the third straight Big Ten title for Ohio State. They added a fourth straight the following year, and Ohio State has won 8 straight games, Joe, against Wisconsin by an average margin of victory of about 17 points per game. So that's an area where I think all of this favors Ohio State on Saturday at home in the Shoe against the Wisconsin Badgers. Another Big Ten game, Joe, that really catches my eye because I'm very high on this team. The Minnesota Golden Gophers on the road in a big test in East Lansing on Saturday against Michigan State. Of course, the Spartans reeling from that loss on the road in Washington just a Saturday ago. Minnesota, Joe, a perfect 3-0, probably a case to be ranked in the top 25. The Gophers aren't as of right now, but a big chance to change that if they can go to East Lansing and get a win Saturday.
77%. I don't think I've ever seen 77% third down conversions from an offense. Every 10 attempts, they're converting 7 of those, almost 8 of those at a time. That's unbelievable when you just think about Tanner Morgan, Mo Ibrahim, and that offensive line, right? They're averaging well over 250 yards per game. They're in the threes, I believe, right? 300 yards per game, 312 to be exact. I mean, they could run it as good as anybody right now, but it's not just the offense. The defense is only giving up 5 points per game. Solid third down defense. We saw Peyton Thorne struggle when obviously Washington and Michael Penix jumped up early. This is going to be a difficult matchup. We know from the series Michigan State's won 5 straight. Last time they played was 2017, but I have to go with the more complete team. I picked Minnesota to win the West. This is their first stiff test. I got to roll with Tanner Morgan and the crew.
Completely agree, Joe. That's where I'm going as well. Although Michigan State struggles more in the back end of their defense by far, the worst passing defense in the country last year that seemed to make very few adjustments in the offseason for another difficult passing attack last week in Kalen DeBoer, Michael Penix Jr., and the Washington Huskies. That is not the strength of Minnesota. Minnesota runs the football. Minnesota has one of the highest rushing play percentages in all of college football, and they are the second best rushing offense in all of the country, only behind Air Force, Joe, and of course, the Air Force Falcons run the triple option. And so they're always going to run the football. But Mohamed Ibrahim is off to an incredible start to this year. I think Minnesota's just the better side. So, Joe, if I say that, if I say Minnesota is the better side, I think they can go on the road and cover and win as a 3-point favorite. Then, of course, I have to look at where Minnesota is in the Big Ten. Because Minnesota right now, Joe, has the fourth best price to win the Big Ten Conference at 15-1. The Buckeyes, the favorites, minus 250. Michigan, second best, plus 410. Penn State, 10-1. Joe, what do all three of those teams have in common with the three best odds? They play in the Big Ten East. If you're looking for value, it's that West Divisional champion. And Minnesota right now, Joe, the only team that is unbeaten in a weak West Division this year.
Yeah, and I think they could get to the championship game, but I don't think they could beat whoever wins the East, whether it be Michigan, Ohio State, or even Penn State for that matter. I just think those three teams are a little bit cut above where Minnesota is, but I think they have a great shot to get to the championship game. Starts this Saturday in Michigan State. We'll see if they could do it. If so, I mean, think about this. They were 7-1 at the start of the year to win the West. Now they're going to be front runners if they dominate this game Saturday in East Lansing.
Joe, there's only one conference right now in college football that has divisional odds up. It's the Big Ten East and the Big Ten West. Minnesota, despite having better odds to win the conference, slightly worse odds than Wisconsin to win the West. The Badgers still the favorites at plus 175. Minnesota, the second best price at plus 210. And frankly, that 15-1 number on the Gophers to win the Big Ten title, I don't think they can win the conference championship either. The East has won all 8. I just need them to get to Indianapolis. Cash out, money line hedging opportunities, all of that great stuff that comes from betting early into the futures market. And that number reduces drastically if Minnesota wins on the road in East Lansing on Saturday. A final couple of thoughts on the Pac-12 up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Four unbeaten versus unbeaten team matchups this week on the college football slate. As we round out Football Full Circle here with Ben Stevens, myself, and Joe Lisi, we break down the fourth and final, Joe, we have yet to get to on today's show. It is USC, the number seven team in all the land, on the road this week in a house of horrors for some in Pac-12 country, Corvallis, Oregon, against the Oregon State Beavers. And Joe, this line has seen pretty substantial movement early on in this week ahead of Saturday's matchup late at night up there in Corvallis. It's now only 5.5 in favor of the Trojans. Joe, when I checked earlier this week, it was greater than a touchdown. 7.5 in favor of SC. What do you make of this line movement? Do you think it's working the right way?
Yeah, I do. It's a hornet's nest. I said it before. I'm going to be on Oregon State. I love the Beavers. They won last year as an 11.5-point dog. They play very well at home. They run the football. They have a disciplined defense. And we know about how explosive Caleb Williams and the crew is, but they're bad in run support. And that's going to be the factor. They're going to test that front seven of USC. And you know what? Maybe Stanford couldn't do it. Obviously, Fresno couldn't do it. But I think Oregon State could do it at home. You want to give me, as long as it's over 4.5. If it starts to get under that key number of 4, I might take another look. But right now, 5, 5.5, I'm a buyer. I think Oregon State wins the ballgame outright.
The total is 70.5. That is a very large total for this contest between the Trojans and the Beavs. I agree, Joe. I'm going to be looking at the quarterback props, of course, of Caleb Williams and of Chance Nolan for Oregon State as well. We'll see if USC has the gusto to provide some of that defensive effort. They looked good last week against Fresno State and Jake Haener, an offense we thought could put up points against the Trojans. Didn't happen that way. USC, a 5.5-point favorite in Corvallis, and as of right now, the Trojans still the betting favorites to win the Pac-12 as conference play across the country truly, truly gets started this weekend for your Saturday, week number 4 of college football. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. That does it for us today on Football Full Circle, live right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. But keep it locked for the best analysis you'll find to Sports Grid Radio.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save